Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Live on tape from the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York City, it's Stephen Colbert!
I gotta say, I love running out to a crowd like this. I could do it all night long.
Yeah.
Welcome.
You know welcome, what I'm
my
saying?
Friends. Triple double. Welcome to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. And folks, you lucky people are here on an historic evening because just over a year after the January 6th insurrection, the feds are finally dishing out some serious consequences because today, an Oath Keeper leader and 10 others were charged with seditious conspiracy related to the Capitol attack. Come on! That's real.
Yep.
That's realer than real. This is huge. This is huge. Seditious conspiracy is no slap on the wrist. It's a charge of inciting a rebellion against the government that carries a maximum penalty of 20 years in prison. That's pretty bad. I gotta say. But somehow it feels like it should be more. Like if you tried to take the government down, you should go away for longer than one Billie Eilish. Now, to put it all in perspective, this is the most serious and sweeping case to emerge from the federal investigation into the Capitol riot. Finally. Up until now, the most serious charge any of these guys have gotten is impersonating a Flintstone. The biggest name... Woo! The biggest name that the feds picked up today was leader of the Oath Keepers and pirate captain of the SS Lipitor... Stuart Rhodes. The indictment alleges that Rhodes and his co-conspirators engaged in a conspiracy to oppose the lawful transfer of presidential power by force by preventing, hindering, or delaying by force execution of laws governing the transfer of power, which is a very elegant way of saying pooping on the walls. Now, in their defense, the Oath Keepers claim that they converged on Washington just before January 6th, as part of a security detail hired to protect conservative celebrities like Roger Stone. Get your story straight, Oath Keepers. Were you there to protect celebrities or Roger Stone? Besides, Roger Stone doesn't need a bunch of henchmen. It's not like he's some sort of cartoonish supervillain. Oh, there you go. Now, here's the thing. This isn't a charge they just yank out of the tank willy-nilly. You don't charge someone with sedition. Unless you got them dead to rights, and it looks like they do, because in the lead up to January 6th, Rhodes called on members of his group to stock up on ammo and prepare for a full-on war in the streets. And a war was there, and it's a war that they lost. This is starting to restore. Feels good. Starting to restore my faith in the Justice Department. Finally, they're charging people with the sedition we saw with our own eyes on live TV. And hopefully, one day, the feds will learn the identity of that shadowy figure who was the president who told them to do it. You know who I don't? You know what I don't have a lot of faith in? The Supreme Court. Because today, the Supreme Court blocked Biden's vaccine mandate for large employers. What the hell, Supremes? What do you know about large employers? You're a small business with 9 workers whose dress code is ankle-length hefty bag. Now, as is frequent with this court these days, the vote was 6-3 along ideological lines. And the conservatives wrote in an unsigned opinion, although Congress has indisputably given OSHA the power to regulate occupational dangers, it has not given that agency the power to regulate public health more broadly. But COVID is an occupational danger. Why do you think everyone who can is working from home? You think it's because they want to see their spouse yell at the Roomba again? It can't hear you, Jack. It's a machine. Speaking of the pandemic, it's all we've been speaking about for the last 2 years. But there may be some hope on the horizon, some light at the end of the nasal swab, if you will. Because experts tell us that the Omicron waves are appearing to slow down in New York City and other major metropolitan areas. Come on. You gotta, please, yes. Oh. Bring it. Oh. Bring it. Please. New Yorkers reacted to the news of the slowdown by saying, on your right, keep walking, you frickin' tourists. You don't have M&Ms where you come from. It's really a lovely place. You should really check it out. It's not just New York. In both New Jersey and Maryland, the number of new cases has fallen slightly this week, and coronavirus levels in Boston area wastewater are falling. One local scientist said, our butt chowder is wicked virus free. Yankees suck. We're not fully out of the woods just yet, but in the words of one epidemiologist, our assessment is we have likely peaked as a country. No argument there, but do you have any thoughts on the coronavirus? I cannot wait for the Omicron to go away because I'm tired of having to do at-home tests. I do it so much I've started experimenting. Sometimes I bring in another Q-tip for a menage a swab. Keep it fresh, keep it spicy. Now, some people online have started to question whether we're even doing the swab right. They think we're jabbing the swab in the wrong place. Because researchers increasingly believe Omicron may replicate in the throat before the nose. The throat? Die, you bastards! The f- is this? This is tea. Oh. There's a rule. What's the rule, Mark? Booze is booze on this show. Today, President Biden gave an update on the battle against COVID. And with things as bad as they are, he went back to basics.
First, masking. Masking. Masking is an important tool to control the spread of COVID-19. The CDC says that wearing a well-fitting mask of any of them is certainly better than not wearing a mask. If it's well-fitting. What if over your nose?
It's kind of embarrassing that after 22 months into a pandemic, the leader of the free world still has to take time to teach us rudimentary safety tips. It brings to mind Eisenhower's famous farewell address. Before I step aside, once again, I urge my fellow Americans, don't put your penis in the light socket. I used to have hair. But I like Ike. Why can't we have Ike? But the speech everyone's talking about was Biden's fire address earlier this week, calling on the Senate to pass voting rights legislation. And he put the stakes in stark terms.
I ask every elected official in America, how do you want to be remembered? At consequential moments in history, they present a choice. Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace? Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor? Do you want to be on the side of Abraham Lincoln or Jefferson Davis?
Harry Potter, Voldemort, Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, Ted Lasso, or the vague concept of a lack of team unity rooted in a humanistic idea that nobody's outright bad, they're just wrestling with their own demons. Believe! Who's that blonde, tall lady? A tall drink of water. That speech ruffled the feathers of Republicans in Congress, especially Florida senator and fifth grader explaining to the other kids why he would be an asset to the dodgeball team. Marco Rubio. In the Senate yesterday, Rubio criticized Biden's speech and attempted to zing the libs.
Yesterday, we were treated to the president telling us that election laws that are being passed by various states across the country over the last year are basically the same, the equivalent of the segregation that existed in this country in the 1950s and 60s and before. Now look, if your daily routine is to wake up in the morning and turn on MSNBC as you ride your Peloton, and then you go on Twitter as you're drinking your caramel macchiato, and then you're reading the New York Times as you're eating your avocado toast, I imagine all this makes perfect sense to you.
Hey, that is a gross mischaracterization. Real liberals eat quinoa poke bowls and drink oat milk on their Peloton late at night while watching my show. Which reminds me, what up, liberal Peloton? Chest open, chin up, back on the saddle, okay? We got an 8-minute high-intensity monologue with 3 hills, 2 recoveries, and a cool-down with some commercials for Ghosts on CBS Thursdays at 9. So crank that resistance knob, and remember, it isn't about what number you hit, it's about watching my butt in the mirror. Come on, let's get up, let's get up, let's get up. Do that, do that. And I'm winded. Senator Rubio's anti-Twitter rant would be a lot more convincing if he hadn't posted it on Twitter. Also, I gotta say, Starbucks isn't a liberal drink. At this point, it's an everybody drink. Marco Rubio's home state has the 3rd most Starbucks with 786 stores. It's the most popular drink in Florida after Monster Energy and NyQuil. Big news from across the pond. Queen Elizabeth has stripped Prince Andrew of his titles. So, from here on out, he's the Andrew formerly known as Prince. Previously on Game of Thrones, his no longer royal lowness is fighting a civil sexual assault lawsuit brought by a woman who is trafficked by Andrew's friend, Jeffrey Epstein. That's bad. You know it's gotta be bad when the royal family, a group of inbred, gin-soaked, jumped-up medieval gangsters that are the product of an inherently racist class system who have all their money from ravaging the world and stripping the gold teeth out of pensioners say, he did what? The Queen made it clear where she stands with her statement. The Duke of York will continue not to undertake any public duties and is defending his case as a private citizen. Yes, from now on, he'll be a private citizen defending what he did with his citizens' privates. But he doesn't just lose the title His Royal Highness. Oh, no. Johnny, tell him what he's lost.
Andrew has lost the right to be called the Commander-in-Chief of the Fleet Air Arm, the Royal Colonel of the Royal Highland Fusiliers, the Deputy Colonel-in-Chief of the Royal Lancers, Queen Elizabeth's own, the Royal Colonel of the Royal Regiment of Scotland. He's also lost the respect of his country and a year's supply of turtle wax. Back to you, Steve.
We got a great show for you tonight.
Up next, NFL players get cinematic.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
John, we got the multi-talented Liev Schreiber.
Oh, yes.
Ray Donovan is going to be out here. They got the Ray Donovan movie. He'll be out here in just 1 second. But before I do that, you know, I rarely issue apologies here on the show. And I have to issue a rare apology right now, and it's to one of our own staff members. I have to issue to the props department right now, because you may have noticed in the monologue right there when I took a sip of what I thought was bourbon.
Yeah.
And I said, pardon the expression, what the is this? Because it was tea. It was iced tea. And the rule is, as Mark, as you know, the rule is rehearsal iced tea. In the show, we do real liquor, okay? I can't sit here and lie to the American people. That's an issue of trust. They have to know that what I'm saying to them is true. And if I say to them, boy, I have a drinking problem, they need to know that that's, that's a real thing. But drinking opportunity. I have a drinking opportunity, not a drinking problem. So, but this is on me. What happened was that I have declared loudly to not only the audience but the staff that it's dry January for me because I'm just moaning about it a lot here. And what they did was like, oh, it's a dry January. We're not going to give them real bourbon. We're going to do the right thing. We're going to be nice guys, and we're going to give them iced tea. And what they did not know is that the only reason I left that joke in is that I wanted that real bourbon. Because then I could say, well, that's for work, man. That's not me. That's not my fault. I had to. Yeah. I had to, Lord. But anyway, I apologize. I didn't mean to freak out. I wouldn't have freaked out if I had a little bourbon. That would have taken the edge off of it.
Right. Hey, you know.
So please accept my apology. Folks, whether you're a fan of football or just a fan of eating chili, you're probably aware that this weekend is the beginning of the NFL postseason. It's when the stakes really heat up, and so does the chili. And one of my favorite parts of any football game is those player introduction videos where one by one we get to meet the teams.
Colton Miller, UCLA.
John Simpson, Fort Dorchester High School.
Andre James, UCLA.
I love these player introductions so much that when we did a special edition of The Late Show after last year's Super Bowl, I hired some of my favorite Hollywood directors to remake them. Of course, back then, I didn't have a live audience here to enjoy them, but I do now. Jim?
The Late Show presents Great Directors Direct the Player Intros.
Everybody was doing player introductions. There was Victor Cruz.
How you doing? UMass.
Marcus Kuhn. We called him the Steamroller on account of he's from Mannheim.
Guten Tag.
You had Johnny Casillas and his guys.
University of Wisconsin.
Lorenzo Carter, the kid.
UGA.
Then there was Folaranzu Fatakasi, also the kid. On accounts that they was both the kids.
UConn.
And finally, Benny Two Times, who got that nickname because he said everything twice, like
Notre Dame, Notre Dame.
Observe Bennett Jackson. The position he plays is safety. But nothing can be considered safe in a vast, indifferent universe where the stars blindly run. To consider oneself safety is to laugh in the face of destiny. University of Notre Dame.
Now let me take a wild guess here. You're Brett, right?
Nah, Foley Fatukasi, UConn.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
Did you mean Bennett Jackson, University of Notre Dame?
I don't remember asking you a damn thing.
All right, okay.
You were saying?
As I was saying, I'm Foley Fatukasi, UConn.
Jonathan Casillas, University of Wisconsin.
All the footballers gathered in preparation for the first of what was sure to be many quarters. There was Victor Cruz, the enigmatic wide receiver. Lorenzo Carter, the iconoclastic linebacker. Carter loved nothing more than chasing a quarterback. He has been one of the Giants' go-to pass rushers, and next season, he's hoping to rush more. Marcus Kuhn, the eccentric defensive tackle.
I don't consider myself eccentric.
The defensive tackle.
Hey,
fella. Marcus Kuhn, NC State.
Up next, Liev Schreiber.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game. Headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Welcome back, everybody. My guest tonight is a Tony-winning actor you've seen in Spotlight, The French Dispatch, and the Showtime series Ray Donovan. He now stars in Ray Donovan, the movie.
I should have killed him then.
And then what?
I don't know. Maybe none of this would have happened.
You're probably right. None of it would have happened.
No wife. No kids. No life.
Probably better for everyone if I had.
It's some sacrifice, Rick.
You'd be willing to give up all those years. That life. Just for him.
Please welcome back to The Late Show, Liev Schreiber. Nice to see you again. Thanks for coming back,
Thank
man.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you went through an interesting thing recently over Christmas and the New Year's. You were stuck in Chile.
Yeah. I've been planning this. We'd been planning this trip to the Antarctic for the kids for years now.
And was this their idea or your idea?
It was actually my friend Taylor's idea.
Okay.
We get down, 12-hour flight to Chile, and we get down there, and we bought all this expensive expedition gear because you need special clothes to walk in the snow. And
man
see the
is not, you know, it's not habitable.
We're not equipped to live down there, right? So we're waiting to get on the plane, and it turns out that one of the kids in our group, because we brought a lot of kids, had a positive COVID test. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wanted to kill him, but I'm okay now, and I'm okay with his dad, Jeremy. I love you. We're told by the people, they bring us back to this kind of concrete bunker, which is really the only hotel in this area of Chile, and they tell us that we have to stay there for 7 days because of close contact. Mind you, we have this adventure waiting for us, so we start to, and of course, 2 days into that, I test positive. And then we sort of get these staggered positive tests, so I've spent the past 16 days in a concrete bunker.
Is this where you got the keyboard? Is this?
Right. So someone asked me if they could get me anything, which was very kind of them. And I said, you know, it would be awesome if you could find me an electronic keyboard, you know, just so I could practice. Mm-hmm. And
do you play? I didn't know you played.
I do play. I mean, not like that, but I play a little bit. And they found me one of those old school Casio keyboards.
Sure.
And at first I was like, you know, a Casio, seriously, you couldn't find anything better. And then I found this dance button.
I think that's what we have. That's we have a clip series, here. Is that what this is, you with the dance button?
This is DJ COVID.
Jim.
DJ COVID, we the best music!
16 days.
I figured now that Ray's over, it's probably good to have some in my pocket.
Another lovely thing that you've done is also, this was during COVID, right? You were in Venice.
Oh, yeah.
Shooting a film in Venice.
The first COVID.
Before we had any vaccines or a plan or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so when were you in Venice?
The crazy COVID. Yeah. Last year.
Had you spent much time in Italy before this?
No. I had been for the film festival, I had been to Venice. And it's one of my favorite places in the world.
Ridiculously beautiful. It's so magical. I like getting off the main path. Like, I go there all the time. When I've been lucky enough to be there, I like getting off the main path and going to the little side streets and see if I can find my way out before the rats eat me.
Yeah.
Because there's this little, it's a little warren of streets.
It's
you can get lost in a minute.
To know where you're going.
Yes.
Certainly. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but for me, it was always packed with tourists or the film festival.
Right.
But right now, I mean, the Venetians have their city back. It's like it's empty, and it's so beautiful to walk down those streets in the middle of the night in Venice. It's exquisite.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Liev Schreiber, everybody.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
You the last time you were here, how much I enjoyed your performance as Iago in Othello. But do you ever wish you weren't a good actor? And I'll tell you why. Here's what's behind. Is that, like, as everybody goes, like, oh, Liev Schreiber, he's a really good actor. And then you've done all this really good work, you know? And that guy never doesn't do good, always does a good job. Don't you wish sometimes you just go, like, I just love to suck in the next thing? Because being a good actor seems like a lot of work. You guys actually put a lot of thought, you know, character development, backstory, you know, focus, memorization. But if you weren't, like, really great like you are, you could suck so sometimes. They're like, well, sometimes he sucks.
Reality is we suck most of the time. It's just that we don't go out and promote the things that we suck. So, sucking, so...
Oh, so there are some products out there. If I really dug down deep, I could find some sucky Liev Schreiber.
If you look,
out there.
There's a lot of sucky stuff out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, mine.
You want to give it any titles?
Nope.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Do your homework.
Showtime's Ray Donovan.
Yeah.
Seven seasons.
Yeah.
Entered in 2020. Ray's back for a movie, as I told the folks. What does it mean after... seven seasons over how long? How many years is that for you?
8 years.
8 years, okay. After playing a character for 8 years, what's it like to go away and then come back to that character and like, get back in the skin?
This feels in many ways like, because of COVID and everything, this feels in many ways like the end to me, like being here with you right now. Because we couldn't do that as a cast. Mm-hmm. But I imagine you know from working on a television show for a long time that you become a family with the people that you work with. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point for me with those actors, like I really don't know what to do in the morning now without them. Like I wake up and I'm like, where's Eddie? You know, where? And it's really, it's been hard. But I'm glad it's over because, you know, it's time to move on. But I can't say enough about how much it meant to me to be working with those people for that long.
From my previous show to this, I get to still work with the people that I work with. Pretty much everybody came over, which was nice. But I took some stuff from the old show, you know, souvenirs, stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
Did you take anything from the old?
Yeah, I did. I took I took Ray's wedding ring and I took a medallion that he wears. Which is, you know, raised Roman Catholic, so I had to sort of, as I'm like a quarter Roman Catholic, I had to kind of research the Roman Catholic thing. Uh-huh. And I decided that I wanted to get him a St. Christopher medallion, because I thought that would look good. Mm. And I went to the, the Catholic medallion place, which is downtown near Wall Street. And the guy showed me all the medallions I could get, which I kind of thought was odd, you know, but he's like, hey, look, you can have one of these, you can have one of those. So I said, I'm looking for a St. Christopher, but what's that one? And he said, oh, that's St. Genesius. And I said, who's St. Genesius? And he says, St. Genesius is the patron saint of actors and prostitutes. And I thought to myself, I immediately thought, what are the chances that they'd ever do a really good close-up on this thing? And so I got that. If anyone asks me, it's St. Christopher. But now that we're done, I can say that Ray has been wearing the medallion of St. Genesius, the patron.
I have a St. Genesius.
medal.
You do?
Yeah. It was given
seriously?
It was given to me by an old friend of mine in Chicago, an old guy I knew from the improv world called Pat Finn. He gave me a St. Genesis.
And you don't wear it?
What?
And
I got it at home. It's hanging on the mirror next to my scapula, you know, my holy cards. And, oh, yeah. That's Jeezy right there.
Is that Jeezy?
That's Jeezy right there. He's actors, prostitutes, clowns, which is why I was given it.
Right.
And clowns. And I think thieves might be another one.
Into all four categories.
It's fantastic. It just shows you when people are deciding, like, what groups of people to put together back you know, a couple hundred years ago, they're like actors and prostitutes. Put them in there. Very fine line between.
But what
those.
Did he do to get that? I mean, like, he, of all the guys
he
who
was
came
a lot
up,
of fun, is what he was. And very forgiving, I suppose.
Genesius!
We have to take another quick break, but stick around. When we come back, I'm going to ask Liev if he's ever forgotten any of his lines on stage.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to superfans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods, too, by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time, Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
We saw in the clip there, great Alan Alda.
Yeah.
Okay, plays your therapist in that. And you also appeared on stage with him in your Tony Award-winning performance in Glengarry Glen Ross. What's it like? I've interviewed Alan, and I've been lucky enough to have dinner with Alan, and he's just a lovely fella. What's it like to share the stage with someone? He's such an iconic figure.
In the beginning, it was nerve-wracking because, you know, I sort of pinch myself because I couldn't believe I was there with him on stage. But we actually became really, really close. And it was sort of like, we were a double act for a while, particularly in that play. And it kind of continued sort of like an Abbott and Costello thing. Like he was funnier. So I was definitely like, you know, the Abbott, like, you're crazy. And then he would do something. But it was amazing working with him. He's, you know, he would forget a line every once in a while, and
what in the play or in Ray Donovan?
Pretty much everything.
Because in Ray Donovan, you can cut and try it again, but on live on Broadway, that might have been a little bit of got to breathe through that moment.
It's fine. He was a real pro. He covered it beautifully. I remember the first time it had ever happened to me. It was a horror show. Because I'd always said as a young actor, I said, I'm not going to forget. I'm not going to forget lines. It's an Alan Alda type thing. And I was in a third preview. And the stage manager had told the prompter, the girl who tells you your lines, that Liev's really good at this. He's a classical Shakespearean. He's not going to forget any lines in it. And I remember that I was looking at Janet McTeer, this extraordinary actress, and I was giving her that look that you give, which is, I'm screwed, can you help? And and she looked back at me and she was like... and I gave her the second look, which is, no, I'm really, really in trouble right now. And she went... And so I thought, I'm gonna have to do it. I'm gonna have to do the one thing that I never dreamed of doing. And I went, line, which is what you say when you can't remember your line. And I realized after about 15 seconds of silence, which is interminable in a theater, that the prompter girl hadn't heard me. So I had to say it again and louder. And I was like, line! And I realized that she was on the wrong side of the stage and I hear her running behind the stage. The curtain goes, dup, 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 dup. She gets over to this side, and I hear a music stand fold down, and I'm like, oh, and then she gives me a line from act two. We're in act one. And I look over at Janet, and at that point, she goes, she said something. I can't remember what it was, but it got us out of it. But I've been so nice to Alan Alda ever since that happened to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that the only time it's ever happened to you?
It's the only time I'm willing to talk about right now.
Liev, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Poncho, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube. Late Show Poncho listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.